27. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." A little while ago, my daughter, oh, where is she? Where's Amy? She's disappeared. Oh, she's over there. There's Amy. She signed up to become part of this swimming academy, which was all very impressive. It was all a good thing. But it was very clear as we started to go through the joining process that the level of commitment that was required to belong to this swimming club. So we got the documentation and we had a chat to the leader, and they said, "Well, you know, you really need to be quite devoted to this. You've got to have a minimum of 2 swims a week, preferably 3 or 4 swims a week." Whoa, 4 swims a week? That's like a whole year's exercise for me. So you got 4 swims a week, and they said, you know, and you've got to be free to turn up for swimming competitions on Saturdays. They were very upfront that to belong to this swimming academy, the level of devotion, the level of commitment was high. You'll be interested to know then we didn't go for it after that, but that was the thing. The demands of belonging, the demands of being committed, were high commitments. And actually, in a similar way today, as we come to this little story in Luke's gospel, Jesus spells out for us the devotion, the commitment that he wants from his followers. What it looks like to be someone not just who gathers in a church like this on a Sunday, but when you head out into your Monday and your Tuesday, what does it look like to walk with Jesus, to be devoted to Jesus? That's what these three little conversations are about. If you look at that, there was 3 people, three, "I will follow you," or "you follow me." And Jesus, in these really short and kind of sparse of detail accounts, is pushing to us. He's got a lesson for us today about what it looks like to be devoted to following Jesus. Now, if you were with us last week, I introduced this idea of a Christian is someone who is cross-shaped. Now, I know that's a cliche thing for a pastor to say, but what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that as a follower of Jesus, if you sit here and say, "Yeah, I'm following Jesus, I'm kind of listening to him, I want to take his lead, I'm trusting him," then actually there should not be a day in our life that goes by where the cross of our Lord Jesus, whether that's the story of the cross in all its details, or whether that's the achievements of the cross, forgiveness of sins, there's not a day that should go by where the cross does not shape your life in some way. Does not have an impact on the way you treat others. Does not have an impact on the way you do home life, you spend your money. The cross is constantly shaping the follower of Jesus. And actually, another way that the cross shapes people is spelt out for Jesus here. And it is in our devotion to Jesus. So let me just put our big idea for today right up front. Following Jesus, this is what I want us to think about today. Following Jesus means having cross-shaped devotion to Jesus. When Jesus says, "Follow me," what does he expect? What does he mean? He means that we need to have cross-shaped devotion. Or maybe I can put it another way, just to try and rub it in a bit. Think about it like this. He wants us to be fully devoted to him, the one who was fully devoted to us as he walked the path to the cross. Fully devoted to him, who is fully devoted to us. And actually, do you know what? As we look at this today, can I give you a health warning this morning? The health warning is this. If you're paying attention, it might be a bit uncomfortable. So don't sit there thinking, "Oh, great, settle in, get the popcorn out, it's sermon time." actually, do you know what? This might just poke you where it hurts today. And it might poke you at where it hurts, because perhaps you're sitting here and you're thinking, like these guys in the story, where you're kind of at the beginning of the journey. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, well, I think I want to follow Jesus. I'm kind of there, but actually Jesus is going to say, well, look, let me show you what that means. Let me show you what it really looks like to become a follower of Jesus. And he spells it out for us. And for some of us, it's really going to hurt, because some of us have been walking down the road with Jesus. Just picture the scene here, okay? You've got two groups of people. The Jesus and the disciples, verse 57, are walking down a road. And so you've got Jesus, and he's surrounded by the disciples, and he's surrounded by a crowd, people who are following him. And then he encounters new people. And some of you will be standing in the new people's bit, and you'll be thinking, okay, Jesus is saying, follow me, what does that mean? But then there's a whole bunch of us in this room this morning who are standing on the other side, who are walking down the road with Jesus, and we're listening in to what he says about following him. And so it's going to be like going to the doctors for a checkup today. What does it look like to follow Jesus? How devoted, how cross-shaped am I when it comes to following Jesus? You know, am I just a Sunday follower of Jesus? You know, am I just one of those people who rallies out the Christian thing for a Sunday? Am I a secret Christian? You know, how cross-shaped is my devotion to him? Do I go out into the week and actually nobody has a clue where I've been at the weekend? No one has a clue that my life is trusting this man, Jesus. Maybe you think that you've got this kind of secret believer thing going on. And actually, do you know what? Jesus might just poke us today if that's us. And he might just say, well, let me show you what cross-shaped devotion looks like. So let's get stuck into the story. That's an introduction. Following Jesus means cross-shaped devotion. What does it look like? Here's thing number one. It means a willingness to walk a rough road. Cross-shaped devotion means a willingness to walk a rough road. Just look at verse 57. As Jesus and his disciples were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, the obvious question to ask, okay, because you've got to get into the story, because it is a story, is there's a group of people and they're walking down a road. They're heading somewhere. Now, symbolically, this teaches us what it means to follow Jesus. If Jesus says, follow me, you're following him somewhere. And it's along a road. It's along a path. And so where is this road that Jesus calls people to follow him leading? Well, have a look back at verse 51. We covered this a little bit last week. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So just to get us into this again, where's he heading?
Heaven.
Brilliant. Via Jerusalem. So where does the road lead? When Jesus says to guys like us, normal people, follow me, where's the road going? Ultimately.
Heaven.
Sat-nav heaven, right? We're on the highway to heaven. That's this road that following Jesus on. That's where you're walking. Now, I know that's a Chris Rea song, The Highway to Hell. But I'm robbing it back and I'm saying, okay, look, we've got the highway to heaven. Nick, there's a song in there somewhere. Let's do it. So here we go. We're on the highway to heaven. That's what it means to follow Jesus. You're on this path where we're following him by faith so that one day people like us who do not deserve to receive a welcome into heaven will one day be welcomed in as sons and daughters of God because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus. When Jesus says, follow me, what road are you walking down? The highway to heaven. That's the road that you're walking. And actually, it's little wonder then, isn't it, that this man, verse 57... And don't lose the enthusiasm of this. They're walking down the road, disciples, big crowds, woohoo, highway to heaven. And everyone's going, and this man, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. He gets something of the greatness of Jesus in this story. He gets something of what Jesus is putting before people as he goes around proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you. I want a piece of that pie. I want the highway to heaven. I want to be welcomed by God. I know I don't deserve it, but you say I can have it. He's walking the highway to heaven, and this man says, I will follow you. It's a big promise, isn't it? Jesus, I'll go with you wherever. I'll follow you. But here's the thing. What sort of a road? What sort of a road will it be, this highway to heaven? What sort of a ride will it be if you follow Jesus? Well, have a look at verse 58. Jesus spells it out. Incidentally, there's no small print with Jesus. You know, sometimes you sign a contract and it's got that really annoying small print, like pages and pages of it that hides the problems. Jesus isn't like that. He says, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be up front with you. This is what it's like. Who do we follow down the road? What sort of a road will it be? Verse 58, Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, title for Jesus, has nowhere to lay his head. Following Jesus, and essentially that's what you're doing, following Jesus means you will have nowhere to lay your head. Because we have someone, we follow someone who had nowhere to lay his head. Social media, I know some of us are of an age where that's kind of like a weird word, but social media for some of us, you know, we're into this following idea, aren't we? And, you know, you follow someone, you keep up with what they're doing in life and you walk with them. I saw a great status line the other day. Someone said, don't follow me because you'll end up at my house, which was great. But actually, there's this idea that if we're following Jesus, and who are we following? Who is it that you're walking behind? Who is it that you're, who is leading you on this highway to heaven? It's the one who describes himself as having nowhere to lay his head. Now, what is that? Well, I think Jesus is saying, actually, the road of following Jesus, the road, the highway to heaven, is actually a rough road. It's not all your problems solved road. It's not health, wealth, prosperity road. It is the road that is going to be a rough road, a hard ride. See, just think about this picture. Just, you know, not trying to be clever, but just look down. You guys can do this as well. What is Jesus saying? He's saying foxes, they have somewhere to call home, right? Birds, they have somewhere to call home, somewhere they can snuggle into, settle into. But Jesus, well, he did not have somewhere to call home. Jesus is the one who left the riches of heaven in his total devotion to winning heaven for men and women like us. He left the riches of heaven and he humbled himself and he became nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He gave of himself. Corinthians describes it as though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. The Lord Jesus came and he didn't just humble himself and become human, but he took on the very nature of a servant. He took on a life of rejection. He took on a life of being pushed aside. He understood that this was not his home. Where is he journeying to? He's journeying back home to heaven. And he says, look, the road, if you're following me, you've got to understand that it's not going to be an easy road. You're going to increasingly feel like someone who has nowhere to lay your head. This world, this journey to heaven is increasingly going to make you feel like you've got nowhere to call home. Because your home is somewhere else. Your home is now in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. That's how it describes us in Philippians. In his total devotion to us, Jesus gave up everything. He became someone who had nowhere to lay his head. And Jesus shows that cross-shaped devotion means being willing to walk a rough ride for the sake of someone else. And that's the devotion that he calls for in us. A road where you might feel like an outsider. A road where you might feel like you're experiencing some of the trials and sufferings of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to cross-shape. You see, think about this, that if the cross is an everyday influence on us, how does it shape your expectations of life? Jesus says, if you're going to follow me down the road, remember that you're following the one who had nowhere to call home. The one who had nowhere to lay his head. The one who was walking to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that place of rejection and suffering and the cross. Now listen, this doesn't mean Jesus says you can't own a home. Okay? It's not that somehow we all have to leave here and all sleep on the floor tonight or go and sleep on the streets. He's not saying that. But he is helping us to understand that if you're going to follow Jesus on the highway to heaven, then actually it will lead to a growing sense of you don't belong here because you belong somewhere else. It will lead to a growing sense of being different, outside, nowhere to call home, because you live for different things. You find different things funny. You find different things cringeworthy. You see, you increasingly, as you follow Jesus, become more and more of an outsider in our world. And if you think I'm making that up, well, just read some of the New Testament. Peter, in his letter, he addresses the Christians that he writes to as aliens and strangers. Now, I know that's probably a weird concept, that you're thinking Christians are like these little green Martians with walking around. And maybe to some people, that's how we appear. But actually, the word aliens just means we're immigrants. We're journeyers. We're on a path. We're just moving through. One of the experiences, I guess, of living in a community like ours is that we meet a lot of people who have moved in from other countries. You know, some of you are moved in and felt kind of outside of a community for a while, or maybe you've met people who've come in recently, and how difficult it is for them. They feel sort of like they don't understand the systems. They feel outside of it all. And actually, that's the sense that a Christian has, because we are on a journey. We're on a rough road. And devotion to following Jesus that is shaped by his devotion to us, by the cross, will mean that sometimes we have to share in the sufferings and hardships of Jesus too. We might face that rejection. We may, back just a chapter back, Jesus had said to his disciples, "Take up your cross and follow me." Being on mission with Jesus. You know, we talked last Sunday about Christians are those who are moving around with a message. Do you know what? Actually, that's not easy as well. And so we just got to have this realness. This man comes bounding up with all this energy. "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Give me a piece of the heaven pie." But actually, what he needed to know was that the road, the highway to heaven, wasn't going to be an easy road. Now, Jesus is not saying here, you know, we mustn't miss the point. He's not saying that we can't have a home. But he is saying you've got to pursue him with that devotion, ready, willing to share in the trials of Jesus, that we might share in the glories of Jesus too. Someone actually wrote it like that. They said, "Those who want to share in the glories of Christ, heaven, must also share in the sufferings of Christ too." Cross-shaped devotion means being willing to walk a rough road. Now, if you're still with me, you might think, hang on, this isn't a very good sales pitch, is it? You know, if you want to attract people to follow you, you don't really want to be saying, do you, "Oh, it's terrible. It's going to be really hard." That seems like Jesus is trying to put the man off, doesn't it? I mean, if we said, "Okay, look, we're going to go and tell people in the community about Jesus," and the first line that you say to them is, "Come follow Jesus. It's going to be awful." You're not going to get many people in the room, are you? You think that's what we think, isn't it? But actually, do you know what? He's not trying to put this man off. And maybe you're here this morning and you're listening to this and you're thinking, really? That's what it means to follow Jesus? Is to end up on this rough road where you might feel outside of the community. You might kind of suffer and just as Jesus did. And is that really it? Why would you bother? Why would you bother to get on that road? And the answer is very simple. Because of where the road leads. You see, you would endure anything, wouldn't you, for the glories that are to come? For somewhere that you can lay your head. For somewhere that you can call home. You bother because of where the road leads. And friends, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, can I say to you that when the road is rough, and maybe it is, maybe you've turned up this morning and you're thinking, "I'm following Jesus, but the road's rough right now." Can I say that you need to lift your eyes to the one who walked the path for us and before us? Because he is the one who will equip you and help you. When we are tempted and when we are struggling with this life, with the road being rough, lift your eyes to Jesus. Because he's the one who helps us to walk that path behind him. That's what devotion looks like. A willingness to walk the path that he walked, that we might be where he is. So when guys at school, maybe you guys feel a bit odd when you get to your classroom tomorrow morning and, you know, you talk about going to church and everyone's looking at you like you're some kind of freak because you go to church. And when you're feeling outside, where are you going to put your eyes? You lift your eyes to the one you're following. The great thing about following someone is that they're right in front of you and you can look at them. And you lift your eyes to Jesus and you say, Jesus is the one who had nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is the one who went via Jerusalem. And so when it's tough at school to follow Jesus, lift your eyes. If it's tough in your family at the moment to follow Jesus, if it's causing that friction, then where are you going to fix your eyes? Lift your eyes to Jesus, the one you're following, the one who walked the path before you. When you're weary, because it's a hard road to walk, fix your eyes on Jesus. Let the cross shape your willingness to walk a rough road. You see, here's the thing. Jesus never, I've said this a number of times and you'll know this, but Jesus never calls you to do anything he has not done. So when you think, Jesus, you're asking us to do this rough ride, you've got to remember that he did it first. He did it so that we might be welcomed into heaven. He did it for the forgiveness of our sins. And we do it because we follow him. And so this week, when the road is rough, remember that devotion to Jesus means being fully devoted to the one who was fully devoted to us, who walked a rough path so that we might be in heaven with him. Number two, secondly, following Jesus, cross-shaped devotion means learning to get our priorities right. So have a look at verse 59. You see, this time Jesus goes to another person. So it's a bit of a mix-up here. Two people come to Jesus. He goes to one. Not sure there's any massive significance in that. But Jesus goes up to a person and he says, follow me. So Jesus says, you know, come down this road. Walk this path with me. Come on the highway to heaven. Now look at the man's reply or the person's reply. Verse 59. He says, first, let me go and bury my father. Now, there's one word in there I want you to have a think about. It's the word first. Okay, it's a Greek word, proton, which I think is a cool word. I'm only telling you that because it's a cool word. There's no other reason to do it. You've got this word proton, okay? This is the first thing, the most important thing. Okay, and so here is this word. What is your proton? What is your first? Now, for this man, it seems very reasonable, doesn't it? Jesus, I'll follow you, but first. First, let me go and bury my father. Now you think, well, that's got to be okay, hasn't it? It's right to care for your family. It's right to look after those that are around us. Absolutely. But actually, we're not really sure of the situation here. These stories are so brief, you just actually have no idea what's going on around them. So is it that the dad has just died? Or is it that he's saying to Jesus, Jesus, actually, do you know what? I just need to hang back for a while. Before I follow you, I just need to kind of look after my parents until they die, and then I'll follow you. Do you see the situation? But the important word is first. What's first on this man's list? That's what Jesus is saying. What is number one? What trumps everything else? If this thing comes in, burying my father, or you know, watching football on TV, or whatever it is, what is first? What is first? Well, look at Jesus' challenge. Verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus is showing that for disciples, those who are following him down the road, your priorities start to get shuffled around. Jesus starts to put something else that comes first in the list. And what is it? It's the priority of proclaiming the kingdom of God. In other words, it's the priority of moving around with the message of Jesus and his cross as the way that people receive heaven. They're received and welcomed into heaven. That becomes proton. That becomes first. That becomes number one. It's the priority of joining Jesus on cross-shaped mission. You know, as we move around with this message, Jesus says, look, what comes first? If you want to follow me, how does the cross shape your following? Well, it says that you've got the highest priority of telling people about Jesus. You've got the highest priority of saying, look, you're in trouble. You're walking a highway and you're going to face God. But let me tell you about Jesus. The one who forgives us. The one who brings us into relationship with God. So just think about this for a moment. Wasn't that the priority of Jesus in his life? So even back in chapter 4, we don't have to turn back there. Chapter 4, verse 43, the disciples come to Jesus. He's taken himself off. He's praying. All the crowds are looking for Jesus. They want a bit more of the healing action. You know, they say, come on, Jesus, this is great. And Jesus turns to them and he says, no, I've come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. I've come to bring this message that by faith in me, you can be received into heaven. I've got to go to other villages and proclaim too. See, Jesus, as he comes to this earth, as he's fully devoted to us, has the priorities of proclaiming this message. That was number one for him. It wasn't the healings. It wasn't his time off. It wasn't his rest. It was actually to get out and proclaim, to move from village to speak this message. And it's the priority that he leaves his disciples with. The end of Luke's gospel. He says to his disciples after he's risen from the dead, but you go, preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in my name to all nations. It's the priority he leaves them with. So do you see how the cross starts to shape our priorities? If Jesus and his cross are the only way for men and women to be saved, to be received into heaven, then what more urgent message could you have? Even for your own family. Cross-shaped devotion to Jesus will mean we start to share the cross-shaped priorities of Jesus. Now again, look at the story. Please don't misunderstand. Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't be bothered about our families? Of course not. Jesus places the highest emphasis on our families. You know, think about Jesus, even in John's Gospel, as he hangs on the cross in the midst of his own suffering. Who does he care for? His mum. He says, John, will you look after my mum, please? Take her into your home. His earthly mother. So Jesus isn't saying don't care for your families. But what he is saying is that if you're going to follow me down the road, your priorities might start to move around. You will start to think, hang on, what is the most important thing for me to do? It is to go and tell people about Jesus. There is nothing that our community needs more than to hear about Jesus. It's good. It's good to do good things for our community, right? It's good that we could give them some food. It's good that we could help them out. It's good that we might be able to run a few activities that make their lives easier. But there is nothing more important than telling them about Jesus and his cross. Because that's how they'll be received to heaven. It's right to care for your family. It's right to love them. But what is the most important thing you can do for your family? It is to tell them about Jesus. It is to make a priority of that message. You know, maybe this morning there's something that takes number one spot in your life. And that thing at the moment is stopping you starting your journey of following Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you, I think. But first let me go and finish my education. Or first let me just sort out this relationship. Or first let me ... I don't know what you'd put there. What is it that you put at number one place, your priority, that stops you from following Jesus? And I want to be real today and say that if you start following Jesus down the road and you start to get a taste for how important the cross of Jesus is, then it might start to shuffle your priorities. Things that you thought were number one might start to get moved down the list. And for those of us that have been Christians for a while, actually there's something at number one spot today that stops you from being fully involved in proclaiming Jesus to others. I don't know what that is. There are always going to be demands and conflicts in our duties. You know, when doesn't work or family or just the need for rest or the football on TV, when doesn't that at some point conflict with our priorities of going and proclaiming? But when people who are following Jesus start to get a taste for how important the cross of Jesus is, that will shape you, because you'll then start to make a priority of going and proclaiming Jesus to others. You might start to put down one or two of those things. So here's a test for you this morning. Ready for the test? It's a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but here's a question for you to think about. Where do you find yourself saying to Jesus, yes, but? Yes, but first let me do this. yeah, Jesus, I'll get more involved in the life of Silver Street, but first I need to sort this out. Yes, Jesus, I'll get more involved in going and proclaiming, but I first need to do this. What would your first be? It's worth thinking about, isn't it? Because our world's greatest need is their salvation. And when you start to follow Jesus, you start to get a rejig of priorities to see that. And just maybe some nights it means that when you're exhausted, you might go and visit that neighbour who needs your help. And you might tell them about Jesus. When you're exhausted, you may sort of, on a Saturday morning perhaps, let me just make a real example. Saturday is for most of us who don't have children that rise with the sun, for most of us it's a lion day, right? But what do we do on a Saturday? Perhaps it's that Saturday in the month when the church is going to go out and deliver leaflets and you're sort of thinking, oh, I should go. Yes, Jesus, I'll go, but I just need an extra 30 minutes in bed. But first, you know, sometimes I just want to be real, guys, that sometimes we say to Jesus, yes, but first. And actually what we should do when we're cross-shaped followers of Jesus, what he pushes us to here, is it shuffles our priorities. Yeah, I'm really tired. But actually, I need to go and proclaim because that's the most important thing. Do you see how the cross shapes you? And then the final thing, learning to be cross-shaped in our devotion means that we need to learn to leave some things behind. Just look at verse 61. So here's the third person, another really brief conversation. Do you know, you'd love to know, wouldn't you? As I read this week, I think, well, did they follow? Do you know, did any of these guys? I mean, I hope they did. I hope they started to follow Jesus down the road. But you don't know. You're not told. Because the point that Jesus is making is about discipleship. Verse 61, still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you. See all the enthusiasm? I want some of this action. But actually, do you know what he says? Yes, but. Yes, but I need to do something first. So he's got a first as well, something very important. But I think the key thing here that Jesus is getting at is he's saying, let me go back. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, again, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? If you're about to truck off and leave, you want to say goodbye to the family. You don't want to say, I'm disappearing for a few months. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be part of his mission. It seems a reasonable request. But Jesus actually is poking disciples in another place. And he's actually saying, look, let me show you what cross-shaped devotion looks like. It's a danger of looking back or going back to things that will really hold you back. Does that make sense? So looking back or actually going back to things that are going to hold you back. You see, Jesus actually sees something in this person's heart. He sees there's something bigger going on here. He sees that his heart is being pulled in two directions. And that's a dangerous thing for disciples. His heart, this person's heart is pulled between his family. You know, oh, if I go back, because you notice that they could follow as well, couldn't they? But actually the picture here is that they're not going to follow. Let me go back and say goodbye to them and I'll come with you. But what happens when your heart isn't that stretchy, okay? If you're following, your heart's with Jesus and following, but part of it is staying back in something else that you love, then you can't serve two things. And that's the picture that Jesus gets at in verse 62. He replies to this person, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm no farmer. But I am reliably informed that if the picture here is one of having a big plough that's strapped to an ox and you walk forward with this plough. But if you're kind of like we are today where we, you know, oh, look, hey, so-and-so. And, you know, the farmer's going along, oh, hey, Fred, you know, like this. And you're all this sort of way and you're on your mobile phone texting while you're doing the ploughing. Actually, it's not going to be a very straight line. It's not going to be doing your job properly. And actually the picture that we're getting at here is that cross-shaped disciples means learning to look forward and not back. It means learning to keep our eyes on what's ahead, not on what's behind. That is cross-shaped. Why? Because that's how Jesus lived when he came to this earth. Just look back at verse 51. Where was Jesus looking in his ministry? Behind him? Oh man, it was really good in heaven. oh man, I wish I hadn't come to earth. You know, the food here is rubbish, and there's nowhere to lay my head. Is he looking back? No, he sets his face to Jerusalem. He sets his face to heaven. He looks forward. He's committed to what he came to do. And devotion to Jesus will mean that we share in that commitment, that cross-shaped commitment. And in reality, do you know what that will mean? For some of us, it will mean that we need to leave some things behind. There'll be things in your life that are in danger of keeping you behind, of stopping you pressing forward with Jesus. Things that just don't fit with the life of following Jesus. So it may be old relationships that you need to leave behind that are stopping you following Jesus. It may be old habits, things that you did before you followed Jesus that you need to keep hold of, or you want to keep hold of. It could be the movies you watch. It could be the music you listen to. It's very practical. There are things that pull us, and in effect what they do is that they stop you ploughing in a straight line. Jesus is not saying that love for our families is wrong. Okay, again, that's not what he's getting at. We know that. But he is saying that you cannot live for two things. And disciples are fully devoted to the one who is fully devoted to us. And that means looking forward. That means pressing forward. That means fixing your eyes on heaven and pressing on. And it means leaving behind things that will stop you moving forward. Things that stop us being useful to Jesus in his work. Now you see, we might shy away from that idea. Let me finish with this, okay? We might shy away from the idea that one Christian, because we're very inclusive, aren't we? That could be more useful to Jesus than another. But that's what he says in verse 62, isn't it? No one who puts their hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of heaven. She's not saying fit for salvation. Because our salvation only comes as a gift from Jesus Christ. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying that if you live your life as a disciple, kind of trying to follow Jesus, but trying to hang on to some of the old stuff as well, then you're not going to be any good. You're not going to be ploughing in a straight line. You're constantly going to be pulled. You won't be able to get on with this prioritizing of proclaiming the kingdom. And maybe this morning, as you sit here, it's something you'll have to leave behind that's stopping you following Jesus. Maybe it's something that you think, if I follow Jesus, I'm going to have to stop doing this, and I'm not sure I want to do that. For maybe some of us this morning, it's that we need to leave behind some things because we find ourselves again saying to Jesus, Jesus, yeah, I'll do that, but first, but I actually want to do this as well. Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll be really useful to you in church, but can I have this to come along with me? This habit, this relationship. Actually, do you know what? We need to learn that as we follow Jesus, devotion to Jesus, the devotion he showed to us, means that sometimes we need to leave certain things behind. And that's a learning process for disciples. I don't know how long you've been a disciple, but I'm constantly learning to do that, to leave some things behind as we press on to what's ahead. So here it is. Following Jesus means cross-shaped devotion to Jesus. It means a willingness to walk the rough road, to walk a cross-shaped path. It means a willingness. If you're saying, Jesus, I'll follow you, you're saying to Jesus, I'll share the road you walked. And it means, if you're saying to Jesus, I'll follow you, it means that you're willing to say, I'll share your priorities, that people are saved. And if you're walking with Jesus, it means you'll say to him, actually, I'll share your commitments and I'll be prepared to leave some things behind as I follow you. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray about that, and then we're going to do something a bit different before we finish.